to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 7. In the Gospel of Luke and chapter 7, we're reading verses 18 through 35. And this comes after Jesus has healed the servant of the centurion and the son of the widow from sickness and death. And so now Luke chapter 7 verses 18 through 35. These are the words of the living and true God. So let's give our attention to Him. The disciples of John reported to him, that is Christ, about all these things. Summoning two of his disciples, John sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the expected one? Or do we look for someone else?" When the men came to him, they said, "John the Baptizer has sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else?'" At that very time, he cured many people of diseases and afflictions and evil spirits, and he gave sight to many who were blind. And he, that is Christ, answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who does not take offense at me." When the messengers of John had left, he began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who are splendidly clothed and live in luxury are found in royal places, palaces. But what did you go out and see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I say to you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." When all the people and the tax collectors heard this, they acknowledged God's justice, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. "To what then shall I compare the men of this generation? What are they like? They are like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another, and they say, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not weep.' For John the Baptizer has come eating no bread and drinking no wine. And you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by all her children." That is the Word of God. And so here we have the account of John the Baptizer asking Jesus if he's the Christ, if he's the Messiah, is he the Anointed One who was promised in the Scriptures. Are you Him? Yes. Has He come? And how did Jesus respond? He quoted verse 22. The promises from Isaiah 35, Isaiah 61, of the coming of Christ, that those promises we just read in the call to worship, those promises the saints of the Old Testament never got to see. And John's asking now, am I seeing this? Is this true? Are the promises that you've come true? And Jesus says, yes. This is what's happening right now. What happened, what was promised in Isaiah 35, Isaiah 61, and other places of the coming of Christ, those promises are being fulfilled right now. Yes, I am He. I am the Christ, Jesus is saying. And blessed are all who do not take offense at me. You think of 1 Peter when we ought to think about that as we've been hearing in the evening. Christ is the rock of offense, the stone of stumbling to many. But may it not be you, he says. May you not take offense at him. Because this is exactly what God had promised all along when he came. Those things of verse 22. The blind receiving sight, the lame walking, the lepers cleansed, deaf hearing, the dead raised up, as we heard in the last section. And the poor having the gospel preached to them through John and by Christ. Those who are offended at him will be doomed to destruction, we learn in 1 Peter. We heard that last Lord's Day. And those who believe will be blessed forever. And then the rest of the passage, Christ shows honor to John as the prophet foretold of in Malachi 3, who came, verse 27, preparing the way for him, that is, for Christ, for Jesus. And what did we see happen, beloved? Verses 29 and 30, some offended at Christ, stumbling over him. Those who were not baptized, it says, by John, with John's baptism, or more particularly, those who were baptized by John, but not actually believing what the promises of John's baptism communicated. That they needed to repent of their sins and turn to Christ. And others believing, we see. Those who had received the baptism and received it by faith. And there are many here rebuked of their hardness, their contempt that they had put upon Christ, and yet God glorified in the salvation of a chosen remnant, those who believe. Beloved, again, here we are called to believe and trust in Christ, who is our cornerstone, that He would not be to us a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, but rather that He would be our living stone, our chief cornerstone, of which being built upon Him, we are being made perfect, perfect in Him. And that building of God. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we're thankful in Christ your Son, whom you have given us, made him lowly, made under the law, undergoing the miseries of this life, and even death itself, death on a cross, and being buried, and then on the third day, exalted, raised up from the dead, and exalted to the highest heavens above the heavens, sitting now on the throne of which we come before, the throne of grace, the throne of mercy. We come boldly in our worship of you, and we're thankful that you fulfilled your promises, thinking of the prophet Isaiah and what he promised about the blind receiving sight, and the dead being raised, and the good news being preached to the poor. Not only the poor physically, but the poor in spirit, who are humbled before you. Father, we're asking now that you would humble us before your throne, that you would convince us of the sin that remains within us. Convict us of it then, and turn us from such wickedness and evil that remains in us to you, the living and true God, knowing that you, we are assured, will receive us for Christ's sake and cleanse us of our sins. Father, we pray for our children, many who have gone off and who have rebelled against you, who have become the fool and said there is no God. We pray for those who have stopped coming to worship you, believing that there is no God, or just become complacent in their life, trusting that what they heard or the many times they have come to worship is enough to save them. And yet we acknowledge that there is no works that we can do to save us, not even coming to worship. And so, Father, we pray for our children, that you would send your Spirit and change their hearts and save them. We pray for the children here today, that you would cause them to have that knowledge of the gospel, and that they would desire to publicly profess their faith before the congregation. That when we partake of the Lord's Supper, they would see that and they would want to partake because they want to commune with not only you, the living God, but with the rest of the saints. And they would beg that they'd be part of that feast that points us to the marriage supper of the Lamb and the great blessings that we will receive in Christ in eternity. And so, Father, we ask that you would send your Spirit and also give them boldness to profess their faith as you require in Romans 10. Father, we pray that they would see, and all of us here would see, that there is no name under heaven by which we must be saved or can be saved, but your Son, whose name is Jesus, who is the Christ and the Messiah, the one promised of old, and who has come and fulfilled many of those promises, of which all promises in Him are yes and amen. So, Father, we ask that you would bless us, your people. We praise you that you're a God who answers our prayers. And we pray that the celebration we'll have in answering our prayers this coming Saturday would be a blessing to us, filled with joy, and never forgetting that you're the God who answers our prayers. You're faithful, and your promise to hear us and answer us. And Father, you've answered our prayers. You found an apartment for Phyllis, and we thank you for that and providing for her. And the stress that you've relieved from her, we pray that you would make the coming couple of months a blessing to her, that she'd be able to sell everything and get rid of everything she needs to get rid of. And perhaps if able, to help saints who are in need or those who are poor, that she might even have opportunity to tell people about the gospel and helping those people. And Father, we also plead that as we continue in our worship, you would bless your people and you would cause us to worship in spirit and in truth, as we'll hear in a few moments in Exodus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.